Hello and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast with me, Beth Espy. Now, normally here is where I sit down with riders who, as the name suggests, have followed their dream, and more often than not, that often leads them to racing the mountain course here on the Isle of Man. But today's episode is going to be a little bit different, because this time I'm talking to two people who haven't just chased the dream themselves, they've helped make sure others could follow theirs. They are quite literally two of the most supportive, steady and essential people in any racer's life. Today we meet the Biker Mums, Katrina McIntosh-Thompson and Jane Simpson, better known around the paddock as the mums of Grant and Marcus. So what is it really like when your child decides they want to go road racing? What do you do with all those trophies that start piling up? And is it ever acceptable to mix Captain Morgan with Tango? It's all in here in this episode. So I'll start by asking Grant's mum, Kat, when she first realised that bike racing wasn't just a phase and that Grant was going to take it really quite seriously.
Well, he's always been into bikes. Like, Santa bought my quad when he was 2.5. By the time he was 3, it wouldn't go quick enough. And then he went to the off-road side, which I thought that's where he was going to go. And then we went to enduro. And he sort of like, as far up as he could go at the enduro, and he decided he wanted to try supermoto up at Jerby. So he did supermoto, and then he decided he was going to go circuit racing and road racing. So I was a case of, if you don't like it, then I'm old enough now and I'm going. So that was it.
And I mean, it's fair to say, I think you've been standing on the sidelines from the very, very young age with Grant. And it's something that he always talks about, just how supportive you've been. Was there any point where you thought, oh, I really wish he wasn't doing this?
No, because the enjoyment you could see when they came in, even a lot of the kids, if they don't win, the expression on the face and the giddiness that the boys have, and then them all round in the paddock. And, you know, it was a good little friendship they all had when they were younger. So no, I would never have, my heart's in my mouth now when he goes road racing, but that's what he wants to do. And at the end of the day, you could go out for a night out and have an accident. So, you know, the boys are doing what they love doing. They've got as much safety equipment on as they can have, but I couldn't sit at home. Can't sit at home while he's racing. No, I would rather be at an event, whether it's on island or off.
And have you ever been a biker yourself?
No. Never.
So where did it come from for him then?
We don't actually know, to be honest. I mean, his cousin, Andrew Grimshaw, he fixes bikes, and he did do Jerby. And we used to take Andy up there when Grant was little, and Grant would be toddling behind him. But no, it just went to bikes, and he's never stopped. So yeah, it's just been bikes all his life, and his poor mother gets trailed around all the events and in all weathers.
Jane, just coming to you, we know that within your family, within Marcus's family, there is definitely a biking history there. Yeah. Did he show an interest from a very early age as well?
His father and I went to South Africa's Cape Town on holiday, and Marcus was coming too in the January. And for Christmas out there, we bought him a little black motorbike, just one of those push things. And we ended up that we had to buy a suitcase to bring this back. And it's all started from there. And where we lived at the Nuke on the TT course, we had a house in the back, and my father used to have a big double garage, which Marcus now uses. And we've had so many people staying with us over the years, from Nick Jeffries, Roy Richardson, and my father was chief scrutineer, and the family background is there. But he always has said that he wanted to go road racing. And like Kat, I guess we do have a choice. We either go and support, or we sit at home and bite nails and drink lots of alcohol. However, I'm not sure Marcus always likes me being there. However, we learn as a mum that eventually you let them get on with it. They know what they're doing. So long as they've got the best team around them, my only role is to make sure there's tea and coffee for everybody and make sandwiches on occasion.
That's the most important
thing is, I'm not sure he wants me there all the time, but I have learnt over the course of the last, 4 years, I just stand in the background and do that. I don't get involved in polishing visors or screens or anything. I don't know one end of a bike from the other, I'll be honest.
And so that answers my question then about whether you've had a particular interest in bikes yourself.
Well, we have, because we've always grown up with them at the house where we, you know, where we lived, even as children, because I lived in what we used to call it the old red brick house. And so the garages were always there. And my dad being chief scrutineer, And I remember my younger brother coming back with, from the tip, I think it came, and it was a motorbike engine in bits in an oil, half an oil drum that they'd cut up. And between my father and my brother Neil, they made this trials bike. And I had a turn on it round the garden at that point and did a wheelie and broke the back mudguard. And that was the last time I'd been on a motorbike. I mean, it was immaculate. It was a Montesa. And I remember to this day going, oh, no, this isn't going to work out right at all. But, yeah, so... And my dad used to take my brothers out to Knockfroy and Turkeylands and scrambling and my cousins and whatever. So, yeah, it's always been there. It's always been there.
It's weird, isn't it? And just tell us about your background, Kat, because you have a twang to your accent.
Originally from Scotland. We've been over here since 79. So, yes, I couldn't go back to Scotland. I mean, Scotland's still where I'm from, but I live here and I don't think I could go back to Scotland and live. Mm. And if I did live, I don't know whether Grant would have had the experience on the bikes and stuff. So, you know, he's thrived over here on the bikes, and that's the best thing, isn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, all you ever want is your kids to be happy.
Absolutely.
And I've got to say, I think both our boys just thrive on the thrill of bikes.
Yeah.
Well, it's incredible, isn't it, really, when you think about they have this interest, they sort of grown up doing it, they set themselves sort of little goals, and they've both done so, so incredibly well. And, you know, they're both still so young as well. And I wonder, from your point of view, seeing that progression, yeah, it must be quite a thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just everybody around them. I mean, all your team and everything, and the excitement that the team have got. But then when they come back in, you sort of go, oh,
yeah.
You do, your nerves do calm down once you know they're in, or, you know, if they've come past you, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's just an absolute wonderful thing for the boys to do, you know, on the Isle of Man. I mean, where else would you want to do it? I mean, maybe if we didn't live on the Isle of Man, the boys might not have been so focused on doing the Manx and the TT. But as a child, it was always Grant's dream of doing Grand the TT course. So we followed his dream last year and got that tap on the shoulder, and that was him.
Amazing.
So are the boys friends outside of, or have they become friends through racing? Yeah.
Well, they've known each other for a long time. 50?
I don't know, yeah. I've got that photograph. I don't know when it was taken. They spoke about it, I think.
Yeah, down at the Queen's, wasn't it?
And I don't know where it was taken, but they're obviously watching
at that point
in time. It doesn't say a year on it, unfortunately, but yes, it's some time. But there's a lovely competitive edge between everybody, I think, in bikes.
Yeah.
And everybody tries to help everybody. There's no, oh, I'm not getting involved or something. I remember one year at the TT, or it might have been at the Manx, something on the bike went and somebody was running around the paddock trying to find this particular item for a bike. And they're sharing. They all share.
Yeah.
Because it's, they obviously want to compete, but it's a healthy competition. And then they compare the times that they've done on certain sectors, and even at, you know, the Irish road racing and stuff like that. Where can you go faster? Oh, I take this line, or I do that line, or whatever. And so it's really healthy. And there's no, well, I've never experienced really any animosity, which is lovely to see. And I think it's a good development for everybody to have that.
I mean, when the boys are on track, they're on race mode.
Yeah, for sure.
But then as soon as they've finished and they come off, they're all congratulating each other and everything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you notice on the PlayStation, they're all on the games around the T course and everything else. Well, yeah. I'll go into Grant's room and he'll be going, "Don't interrupt me, Kat." You know, and then
Cat,
yeah. And then they're all, then I'll have to say, right, well, we need an update. What's a track light and things like that? And I'm sort of thinking, where else would you get that? Mm. You know, the boys, they have such a good banter between them all. Yeah. And as Jane says, if somebody, one of them needs something, the other one will try and help out. And yeah, no, it's really is. On the Isle of Man, the boys are absolutely fantastic.
And it must be important for you as well, as the mums, having those friendships too.
Yeah, because I think if you're friends with somebody whose son doesn't ride, they don't understand your feelings and things like that. Because, I mean, last year at the TT, I spoke to Jane and, you know, said to her, how was she? And you could see Jane was nervous because Marcus was going out. And a bit like you, when you came to me at the Manx, you know, we're there for each other because we both understand what we're feeling, you know. But it's just been amazing. I mean, Jane and I might not see each other for 6 months, but it's just like we haven't been apart because we're biker mums.
You remind me of a funny story, actually, because when Marcus goes out, obviously they're not allowed to take mobile phones with them. So there's two stories I've got actually thinking about this. So last year's TT, Marcus did really well. You know, he reached a good speed. I think it was 127. I'm not sure.
Something like that, I think.
It was really windy, wasn't it? And Lauren put one of these Apple AirTags down the back of his leathers so that we knew where he was at any time. So I'm watching the sectors and I'm thinking, OK, he should be gone over Balaf. He should be coming to Ramsey now. I've no idea of the times, but I know roughly on the timing thing. Anyway, next thing, he's out by Mackled. And I thought, what on earth is he doing out at Mackled? He'd decided it was too windy to go up over the mountain. Fair play, he'd made that decision. So he'd come back the roads via Mackled along and came up Summer Hill. Somebody followed him up Summer Hill. So I was very grateful for the Apple AirTag because I had no idea where he was. So that was one funny story. And also Marcus, because I have a mobile number that's so easy to remember, I'm not going to say it, whenever he goes out, if anything does happen to the bike, he will always call me.
Yeah.
And I always sit there on the grandstand or on a fence, a bush or whatever, hedge in Ireland, and wait. And if I get that phone call from a random number, my stomach drops.
Yes.
Because I also know then immediately that something has happened. And why are you ringing your mum? Well, I know why he rings me because mine's easy to remember. And he'll say to anybody standing alongside him, it must sound strange, actually, do you mind, can I use your phone, call my mum? And I will then automatically call the team and say, right, he's at Glen Helen, go and pick him up. And then we had the horrible incident when he came off in 24 in TT. And I said to him, where are you? And he said, I'm up on the mountain. And I said, OK, I'll send the team up to get you, because 8 times out of 10, whatever he's come off, it's been a pick-up and go back out again, no problem. And he turned around and said, no, I don't think that'll be happening this time. I think I'm going to have a helicopter ride and pass me over to the marshal who, I don't know how many marshals they are, I still have the message from the marshal. They were just amazing, telling me what to do. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been in that situation before. Anyway, I beat him to the hospital. Again, by friends, because I'd parked my car. I thought I was right. I'd parked it inside Nobles Park. You should park it the other side of the road so that you run over the bridge at St Ninian's, grab your car and you drive over. But it was Karen Moffat actually picked me up and took me to the hospital. So I ran and my car was left there. So, yeah, now I laugh. They're funny stories. I have a helicopter ride this time. And then it was the recovery after that as well. But, you know, all's well.
What I've learnt from Grant is, like, when he's done the Southern and there's been a couple of times where the racing stopped, the marshals are amazing. Mm-hmm. They'll let them use the phone just so that, because, like, on the TT course, you can sort of, like, know where roughly they are. But going round the Southern, you haven't got a clue. Mm-hmm. And there was one time Grant was out at Ballawhetstone and this strange number. And, of course, like, Jane, my heart sunk. And it was just, Mum, I'm okay.
That's all you need.
So then it was a case of, right, I got onto the phone to everybody to let them know. I forgot the family group chat. So, of course, a couple of my nephew was watching and he wouldn't move until he knew Grant was all right. And I thought, oh, God, you know, I never gave it a thought because the team was new, but I wasn't expecting other people. And then the other people are saying, well, we didn't want to message you. And you're just sort of thinking, well, you'd be better if somebody had messaged me on the family group chat. I would have said, no, he's fine. You know,
it is a difficult one, that, though, isn't
it? Yeah,
because I know there was, I can't remember what event it was, and Marcus had stopped, and it was it was Cadwell Park, it must have been last year, and he didn't come off, but he had a little slip.
Yeah,
and he wanted to have 25 as a no crash season, which he did have, amazing. And I put something in the 23 club because they both have, like, Grant has a 44 average, Marcus has a 23, which I'm sure you manage Grant's and I sort of managed that. And I put something in the group. Well, he absolutely went ballistic with me because it wasn't enough and I shouldn't have done it. But you want to let people know because people are out there, not probably as strongly involved as you or I are.
No.
They want to know, but equally, there's that many people who are following.
Yes.
It's difficult to let... And you don't also... I think I messaged you one time.
Yeah.
How is he?
Yeah.
Because not wanting to know the ins and outs, you just want to know...
You just want to make sure that they're okay. Because
that's all you need
to know.
We
both know what we're feeling and, you know, if something happened, if Marcus had stopped or something, I would message Jane saying, is he okay?
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing. And you're not thinking, oh, God, why are they messaging you? It's just because... They understand what you're going through. And sometimes it's easier to talk to the likes of Jane than it would be to my sister.
Yeah.
Because although my sister's there for me, she doesn't understand the road racing. And so sometimes it is just easier talking to somebody who understands what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you manage those feelings, I suppose, just before they go out? Because obviously they need to be completely in the zone. They haven't really got any capacity to deal with anybody else's nerves or whatever. That must be, yeah, quite an interesting thing, trying to sort of hold it down. And
yeah,
just...
it was all right when he started doing the Southern, but when he did the Manx last year, the first time he was going out, all my stomach was churning.
It's a long way.
Yeah. And it's the morning seems to drag and everything else. And I remember Grant saying to me, "Mum, if you're going to cry, go away."
Yeah.
It wasn't quite so nice, but don't be about if you're going to cry. Well, there was no way I was going to cry because there was no way I was not going to be on that start with him, you know, because I would never have forgiven myself. And then once I saw him get that tap on the shoulder, my stomach settled down because I thought, right, he's following his dreams. What more can you ask? And after that, I was still nervous, but I wasn't as nervous as I had been. So I'm hoping this year I'm not quite as bad.
You'll be fine. I remember when Marcus went out first time in the Manx, 3 years ago, is it now, whatever. I looked for 37 friends around the TT course every mile just to message me. He's here. He's okay.
Yeah.
That's all you need to hear. And yeah, I agree with you, your stomach. And it makes me feel emotional now. It does,
yeah,
to think about it.
Does, it. Yeah.
And you just think, oh God, how many days to TT? Here we go again. But before that, you've got the Northwest, and then you've got all so much Irish road racing going on this year. I might have to just move to Ireland for the summer because I actually went and bought a year planner last the weekend. And I've got all these dates on. And bear in mind, I have two other sons and grandsons as well that I have to obviously try and fit in because they don't live on the island. So it's a challenge. You know, it is a challenge. But like you, I try. Well, we try to go to every event that we can.
I would rather be there.
And some of the Irish ones, I mean, we had a motor, we still have a motor home, it's up for sale. Now I look at Airbnb, but we've stayed in some strange Airbnbs, but it's a bed. I mean, we shared a house with a couple last year for Tandragee.
Yeah.
Oh, my word, weird. But anyway, you just want the bed.
Yeah, that's all you need, isn't it, is a bed. But, I mean, I'm lucky this year it's only in the Northwest, so I'm hoping it might just stay as the Northwest.
Yeah, I can't remember how many. And saying about all of the marshals and officials for all of the racing that goes on, I mean, I have met, and I honestly mean this, some amazing people who have been to help me. We talked earlier about the motorhome. Funny story about the clutch going last year, Marcus driving it at the Northwest. Let's just go and do a lap because we didn't get a lap in the year before. Let's just do a lap first, just me and you. Got a video of it, and the clutch went on this first corner. And he's being very polite, not. And fortunately, he's got lots of contacts. So he phoned different people. They had to tow us into the Northwest. You wouldn't, honestly. And then via Jerry Parker, I left the motorhome there. He took it off, got it fixed. When they came back for the Southern 100, I think, whatever's after that North... Yeah, it'd be Southern 100. Southern. They brought it back for me and left it down the sea terminal. I got it fixed. I've met Rosie Geddes. You'll meet Rosie. You'll love Rosie. She's the Irish... Well, I hope you don't meet her, actually. she's the Irish rider liaison to the welfare officer. Fabulous. My Marcus had his off at Cookstown 3 years ago. I was in Abu Dhabi seeing my other son, my first grandchild, and I get the phone call, and it's like, oh, no. I said, look, I'll come back. She just took over. So now she's Marcus's second mum, and she's just fab. And if you like a little bit of alcohol... She likes a Captain Morgan and Tango. And I've said
Tango.
It's Irish. Oh. It's the way to go. I've never had it myself. But I just felt like I owed her. But we're good friends now.
Yeah.
And everybody in Irish, they're so good, so kind, so welcoming, supportive. So, yeah, you'll have all this to come, Kat.
Thanks.
It'll be fun. Rest your liver a week before.
And, you know, just thinking about, you know, there have been times for both boys where they have had... instance, they've had to sort of come through injury. Mm-hmm. Nursing them back through that, the physical side is one thing, but mentally, I mean, they're both such strong characters and have such high expectations of themselves. That must be really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the physical side, because they're so used to being active, that's hard enough. But then, like, sometimes if they've had a bad week, they'll jump on a bike and they'll go out on a bike and that's their de-stressing. So not being able to get on a bike, yes, it is. You can see their... them going downhill quite quickly when they can't do the de-stressing on a bike. It is. But as the boys both said down at the Queen's a few weeks ago, they've both gone and spoken to somebody. Mm-hmm. And there is absolutely no shame in that. And I think it's amazing that the boys are talking about it.
I agree.
You know, because a lot of people that aren't involved in bikes, and then they'll say, that, I mean, I don't know about you, Jane, but I've had, oh, why are you letting your son do that? Well, why are you letting your son go and play football? Your son could go and break a leg playing football. So could the boys riding a bike. But at least they've got a bit more equipment on. But they've just got to talk to the mates, at least playing on the PlayStation. The boys are all talking to each other, you know, and some of the conversations I hear, I'm thinking, oh, God. But they're all, it's just camaraderie. And I mean, I know some, Grant had said that talking to a stranger was a lot better, but he knows that if he just slightly needed one of his mates, he knows his mates will be there for him. And what better way than to have lads that will just be, it's got to be a rider, because if it's not a rider, they don't understand. But they've just been amazing, all of them.
Yeah, very true, very true. I mean, saying about the mental health side and stuff that we're talking about, when Marcus did have that crash in 24, and I think he was very lucky. He damaged hands and he had to have wire put in fingers and goodness knows. He was extremely lucky at 130 mile an hour coming off. And I was at work and Love Island was on. And I came home from work 1 o'clock, most days, not at work, only a few hours a week, came in, and every day, sort of early July, he's watching Love Island. This is Marcus, he's not even on the TT game. One particular day, and I'll never forget it, Whiff from Michael Wilson from Ireland again phoned him. Irish supportive team, recognising there's issues, mental health issues going on. And he phoned him and he said, notice, Marcus, you've been really quiet social media since TT, because he'd just gone into his shell. And he said, why don't you come to Armoy, which is late July? And he got up from Love Island, came into the kitchen, because I was just leaving him too. I was saying, let's go up to the garage, let's go and do this. And he just couldn't face it. And that's entirely up to him. Mm. But I was trying to motivate him to at least get off the sofa. Yeah. And he said, came in the kitchen and he said to me, what do you think? Should I go to Armoy? I said, well, it's your choice, Marcus. But if you don't go to Armoy, get up the garage tomorrow and we'll sell the lot. And go and get yourself a decent job, because if you don't get back on that bike, you will never do it again. And so he went and he took his bike. Whiff helped him with an awning and all the tools and whatever. I said, do you want me to come? He said, no, I just want to go on my own, him and Joey. And they went on their own. And I was so proud of him. And they went and they all helped out. It rained and we were sat in my garden. I'll never forget. We were sat in the garden on the Saturday, I think, with a bottle of wine, listening to it or watching it on Speed Hive, mm-hmm. or Beehive, I call it, for a joke. And Friday night it rained, so we didn't go. Fair play. And on the Saturday he went out. He didn't do amazing times, but he enjoyed it and he got back on it. And then when he came back, that's when he started going. Leanne Harper from Dunedin recognised as well. Mm. I don't know. I think she approached him and that's when he went to speak to them. And he's a different boy.
Yeah.
He's got a boy. I mean, he's always my little boy, isn't he? They all are, as I'm sure Grant is.
Yeah.
And did amazing. Absolutely amazing. So when we did his 23 club thank you night, because we do a launch night and a thank you night for all the team and sponsors and whatever to say thank you for all that they've done for the year, we did a raffle. We didn't raise much money, but we gave it to the Dunedin Fund. And Marcus will go up and do the what do they call it? Le Dans up at Gerber.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that, because this is me. It's not all about taking, it's about giving back. And your time doesn't cost you anything.
No.
I know TT Week and all that carry on and busy race schedule and stuff, but this time of year, give back something.
Yeah,
and be
exactly.
Kind, you know? So we try.
Yeah.
We try.
Do you know what I really love about, and particularly just thinking about you two and Grant and Marcus, is that you clearly put so much into it, you have done from the beginning, and they really do recognise that, because both of them, talking to them separately when they've been on this podcast before, talk about you being one of the biggest influences in their lives, and that must be such a lovely thing. You know, you are letting them, in inverted commas, because you wouldn't necessarily have any choice, go out and live their dream. And not everybody gets that, do they, Kat? Not
no.
Everybody has that.
No. Knowing that Grant appreciates it, I mean, you don't do it for your, they're your kids, so you'll do anything for them. But knowing that they do appreciate it, you just think, oh, well, it was all worth it. You know, I mean, like a couple of years ago, the lads were playing on the PlayStation. And then it was about motocross. Oh, do you think Kat will come back on the committee? So I've now gone back to help Ramsey when I can and Peveril when I can. Because it used to be that Grant would be doing an enduro and I'm doing a motocross. So I never got to watch him. Mm. So nowadays, it's if Grant's on a bike somewhere, I'm not available. But we've got a bit of a clash. We've got Circuit of Man coming up in September, which clashes, I think, with the Celtic match. So I'll be running from both events. So that'll be fun. From the Innovation Centre to Jerby Racetrack.
Well done. Good on you.
Yeah. What about for you, Jade? Again, as Kat says, you don't do it for any sort of recognition, but the fact Marcus does see how much you've given up over the years to support his dream.
Again, thinking back, I remember when Marcus got second on the Manx, and you have to have a certain pass to get through into the presentation area. I don't know what paddock area you really do.
Yeah.
And I was up on the grandstand. Oh, I wasn't up on the grandstand. I was just standing back like everybody else. Anyway, apparently he shouted, "Where's my mum?" So, and you're not allowed through into there unless you've got a proper pass. So somehow or other, I got one, and literally, and my friend was up on the grandstand and videoed me running down, and it's one of my favourite photographs is where I'm just hugging him, and going, "Well done," you know, because he nursed the bike home, and he got second to Joe Yearsley, and Joe Yearsley's amazing, but Marcus had a problem with his bike. This is knowledgeable. I think it's quick shifter.
Oh,
is that right?
Yes.
I think it was the quick shifter. And coming up by Glen Helen along that straight bit there. See, I don't even know the TT course. He just nursed her home. But I didn't care. Again, you could ask me the lap times. I might have them written down that he's told me. But in all honesty, I never care what he's done. So long as they come back, he grants
and they've got a smile on their
Joe,
face.
Anybody I know, Marcus, obviously, they're back and they're safe. That's all that matters to me. I don't care less about times.
Do you ever think over the years about the sacrifices that you have had to make for this?
No, in all honesty, no, because I enjoy it. We met so many lovely people along the way, and I will introduce you to Rosie.
After the road.
And we've met some amazing people. And Marcus and I have made fabulous memories, as I say. And for Christmas, he bought me one of those digital little photograph things.
Oh, right, yes.
And I put loads of photos on it, and it's like, it's just amazing. I don't know. I've always supported my kids doing whatever they want to do. I mean, it's very difficult, challenging, because I've got three.
Yeah.
Matthew does Ironman. James does lots of country walks, and they've got grandchildren now. And I'd be there for them, no matter what. I mean, we went to Oman for Matthew doing this Ironman last year or whatever. You just try to be there, don't you? I think it's a bit of a, I mean, totally opposite to my parents, actually. I don't know how yours were, but my mother used to come with Marcus in the pram when I played hockey back in the day, and down to Peel, and she'd walk him onto the prom, and I'd be playing hockey, then I'd pick them up. My dad never watched me play hockey, and I find that, and I played for the Ireland, which I don't know whether it's in my psyche that I'm thinking, I'll be there. I don't know.
No, my mum and dad were very supportive because I did sailing out on Guernsey with the sailing club and everything else. And my dad was always there for me on a Saturday to help me with the boat when I was younger and everything else. And because there was only me and Grant, if I was working, you know, my mum and dad would have Grant and everything else. And some, you know, if he stayed over at her house, their house and everything else. No, I've got to say, my mum and dad were very supportive. But because it's just been me, Grant, it's just been a case of you just do it. You know, there's no thing, oh, I can't be bothered doing that. But seeing the smile on the boys' faces when they've been out on the bike, no words can describe that for a parent. Well, not for me anyway, because just seeing them coming in, like even Grant going out practicing now for the motocross, and when he comes back in, that smile is just, there's no words that can say it.
No, you can't take that away.
No.
You can't put a price on that.
No. And being there to see it, nothing else.
And, you know, being recognised, I mean, you are like little paddock celebrities now. Everyone knows, don't they? It's Grant's mum and Marcus's mum.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, we wear the gear.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wear the gear because, I don't know, I mean, some mothers don't wear it, but I quite like it because it's like a uniform and I haven't got to think what I'm wearing. And it's like, exactly. Put that on and wash it out and there it is again tomorrow, so it's fine. And also, by wearing the gear, if you happen to sell a hoodie or whatever, you're making a couple of quid for the kids.
Yes, that's
so
it.
So there's that other flip side of that. We're there. That's what we do. I wouldn't have it any other way.
We haven't really touched on the finance side of things, but it's interesting. You both mentioned, obviously, the...
challenging.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You probably wouldn't want to think about it over the years, how much it has gone into it. But sponsorship, it's a difficult conversation to have to try and, you know, get people to back the riders. I wouldn't want to think about how much you two have spent on it over the years.
I did tally up how much we spent on the off-road side. Yes, well, not. That was three figures. That was just on off-road. But now, I mean, Grant's got a few sponsors, you know, and if anybody else would like to come on board, I'm sure with Marcus, every little bit helps. Yeah. I mean, people say, oh, we can't afford it, but it doesn't have to be thousands. No. If somebody said, here's £50,
100%.
God, that would cover it like a day's racing. You know, it's amazing. And that's why we do try and sell the gear and things like that. And it's just a hard thing. I mean, the price of tyres, the maintenance of the bikes, the leathers, the helmets, the boots, which you have to have. And you can't scrimp on that. A helmet, really, you're talking £1,000, aren't you? But what's £1,000 to saving his life?
There's nothing.
You know. There's nothing is better than having the best stuff, and that's all you can ask for the lads is to get the decent stuff. But yes, we'll just not go down how much we...
No, that's not. I mean, a friend of mine that wants to get on board with Marcus and said to me, he asked me first, normally I don't get involved, Marcus was his own, apart from the 23 Club.
Yeah.
He'll go out, he'll seek his own spot. I might give him ideas of who I think might be interested, but he said to me, what can we do? And he said, what do you think about me giving him X amount? And I said, I don't really care, so long as it's for safety.
Yeah.
And that's what every time I says, oh yeah, such and such gave me this money, but it has to go for safety. And that's all that matters. The helmet, the leathers, the bike's got to be in mint condition, hasn't it? And checked over and stuff like that. So, and that's more important than anything for me. The speeds are irrelevant. Not to Grant or Marcus.
I'm just curious, is your house always full of bike stuff everywhere? Or is it fairly contained? I know they've got garages and whatever, but you got bits and pieces in the kitchen.
Yesterday I spent the day cleaning the garage because there was two bikes in it and I can't move. My mother complains the dining room's been taken over by leathers and helmets, and because they've got to be kept indoors. So yes, it just seems to creep. Come once the race season starts, it all gets moved out into the race vans, you know. But at the moment, through the winter, everything's kept indoors. And yeah, so sheds have got all the camping stuff and awnings and tyre warmers and things like that. They've got to be kept dry. So they're all kept in sheds. And yeah, it does take over the house at times.
I guess I'm quite lucky on that. Fortunate that Marcus has his own garage, and I just leave stuff at the front door in order to say, take that with you, get it out of this house now. And it's this time of year now that it starts to irritate me, because I'm a little bit OCD about my house, I'm not going to lie. And now in my lounge, I've got a push bike on stabilisers, it's not stabilisers, what do you call it, for fitness. And that's sitting in the dining room. And I've got family over this weekend, so it's just like a gym and stuff like that. But no, I'm quite lucky that trophies... I hate dusting the trophy thing. And it takes hours, and you just put them on the table and as if say, you can do a nice arrangement for these. And now I keep hiding more of them and putting them away because I'm sick of them. I don't even know where they're from.
I normally try and do a display in the hall of his trophies that he's won, but then, like, in the next couple of weeks, they'll all be getting put into a box and putting up the loft.
Oh, do you, Kat?
Oh, yes.
Well, do I have your permission to do that as well?
Oh, I put them in boxes and, oh, I can't cope.
Is that the year done and they're gone?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to introduce that, Michael.
Start afresh and
first
then...
First in, first out.
Yeah.
Get in. I'm starting that when I get home.
No. With our boys, I mean, they've got so many trophies.
Yeah.
Every trophy is from something that they've achieved. Mm. So, no, they go into boxes and they're up in the loft.
Oh, that's starting that, won't it?
If you're OCD, though, Jane, what you can do is you get one of those little label makers and, you know, you can just, you can have
put
a right fun with that.
Yeah. That's not my problem. If he takes them out the loft, he's getting them so he can sort them himself.
That's going to happen. Do you know, I never even thought about this. You know, kids go through school, don't they? And you end up keeping every picture that they've painted and whatever. Yeah. And, oh, flipping heck.
I know. Yeah. I've not been that OCD about that, but I've still got his first ever little wolf sport jacket that he got when he was two and his little boiler suit that he used to go to Derby with Andy. I've got that in a vaca sack. And a couple of little bits and pieces. But then Grant's got all his off-road stuff in the garage and it's got holes in it. And I'll say, shall we get rid of that? No. I won such and such on that. Yeah. So there's boxes of just gear in the garage that you need to have the boys away before you can...
Then get Jane round.
Get me round. I'll help you get rid. We can do that as a team, Kat.
We could.
I got... Well, as I said earlier, my father was chief scrutineer and they used to have the yellow and green jackets and it had Ken Harding, chief scrutineer. And when he passed away, I thought, nobody will want this. Oh. And I binned it. And Marcus has mentioned it more than once. Well, who's going to want it? You can only keep so much.
Yes, there's only so much you can keep.
And I am very sorry that I binned it. Not that I would wear it or anything like that, but Marcus might have had an interest. But I'm taking that idea home.
Trophies have got to be moved.
Makes my housework a lot easier.
Yeah.
As we're talking now, what's the start of Feb, the race season sort of, approaching. Mm-hmm. It has been quite a long winter, I'm sure, in both of your households. But if there are mums in particular listening, there's a mum whose son or daughter is about to take on road racing for the first time. It's obviously quite a daunting prospect. What would be the best advice you would have for them?
Support the kids. Come up to Derby. I'm normally up at Derby, so if there's anybody who wants, come and speak to me. I'll try and help them as much as I can, and I'm sure Jane would do the same thing.
Of course, yeah.
No, I mean, if the boys want to do it or the girls want to do it, the best thing to do is try it. If they don't like it, that's fine, but you don't have that regret or wish I'd done it. Because our boys just, well, Grant just said, he says, I'm going road racing. Bike was in the garage 2 weeks later and that was us, we went. And I said, well, you're on your own, but no. It's just support your kids or wives, girlfriends.
Boyfriends. Just be there.
Yeah.
Just be there. And Derby, I mean, I've done that. Derby, we've done, is it Supermoto?
Yeah.
And it's always cold. Bring yourself a flask of coffee.
Yeah.
Wear 35 layers of clothes because
buy
it's
one of these dry
freezing.
Robes. Doesn't
Something
have to,
like
doesn't
that.
Have to be dry robe, but those are a godsend.
Yeah. And talk to the other guy, the other girl.
Yeah.
Whatever,
don't try and do it on your own.
No, just be there. It's an early start, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I've not been for a long time now.
We normally hit the road about 7:15 in the morning.
Oh, no, you see, I've never done that till in the morning. That doesn't happen on my watch.
Yeah, but we are coming from Port St Mary. But no, I mean, there's plenty of people and you just start talking and everybody's so friendly.
Yeah.
You know, and the committee up at Derby, they'll help out as much as they can. Yeah, just
be there.
Be there and support them. That's all you can say.
You know your own child, how they're going to behave if you go and try and... Do you polish a visor?
No.
No. Do you polish the helmet or anything?
No.
You know your own child how to...
I'll do the tyre warmers and fueling the bike.
Will you?
That's my bit.
You're very clever.
It's normally in me that does the helmet.
Should you go into the pit lane?
Oh, not in the pit lane when he's doing that, but when he's up at Derby and stuff, I'll be fueling the bikes.
Ah.
And Southern, I'll fuel the bikes. Yeah, that doesn't bother me. No, I was told I wasn't allowed at the Manx.
Yeah.
But then I'm quite glad because if it went wrong, I'm not getting shouted at.
Exactly. See, we both say that. We're not getting shouted at. We'll just be there.
We know when to help and when to take a step back and let the team do it.
Yeah.
And just something you mentioned there, Kat, about when Grant made the decision to go road racing, because you had at one point sort of said, I don't want any part of that if you do it.
Yeah.
What was the decision process like for you and sort of like going over that, reflecting that before deciding, actually, I have to be there?
Well, I'd always been with him within the off-road side and I never really... There was nothing against road racing. You just don't want your son to do it. You know, they're precious. But then seeing the excitement of him and going up to Derby on the first day and I thought, no, I can't sit back. I wasn't that kind of mum that could just sit back. I mean, even when he's just out practicing, if he's at one of the events, I'll be there supporting him. I mean, I didn't go yesterday because it was raining, but I've been wet and everything else.
Yeah.
But no, I just decided, no, I had to. I'd done it most of his life and I couldn't stop. So I'll always be there as much as I can to support him.
Mm-hmm. What are your hopes for the boys then? They all have their own idea of what success is going to look like. But what does it look like for you?
To stay safe and enjoy. Follow their dreams.
Follow their dream.
That's...
Keep doing what they're doing because they're both building up to being really good racers, I think.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
for that, I'm super proud of both, of all yeah. Manx riders, yeah. to be fair. Because it's not easy raising the funds, getting the sponsors, getting the bike, getting the leathers, getting the helmet, the quick shifter, whatever. They're amazing. And, you know, if nothing else, I don't care, as I said earlier, about the speed, safe and proud of them. And it does it makes me get all emotion about it.
Yeah.
When when I think back to this little, well, he was never little, Marcus, but back to this little squirt going round on the drive we had on this black little motorbike from South Africa that we bought the suitcase for him to bring it home. Honestly, that's the gospel truth. I've got a photograph, I found it last night, and he would just go round. Marcus was never born to walk or run.
No.
He was made
to
ride
a bike.
To ride a bike. Mm-hmm. Honestly, anything with wheels, he's on it, and always been that way, from mountain bikes, push bikes, ordinary bikes,
yeah.
trials, supermoto, I don't know, whatever they are. Oh, roads as well.
Yeah.
You
well,
name them.
I know when Grant was little, when he had his little quad bike and he would race around the garden, and Andy was down one time on his motocross bike, and they were supposed to be going in the same direction, but Grant decided to turn and came back down. Well, the two of them collided. Andrew ended up with concussion. Grant burnt his chest, burnt his knee, broke his arm, and all he could say to the nurse was, "When can I ride my bike again?" Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is it.
Mm.
But to be honest, you know, when they have their injuries, I think both boys are sensible that they wait, and they wait the time that they've been told to wait before they jump back on the bike. You know, if they're told six, well,
I'm looking
Jane's
at
Jane's looking
you
a little bit
now. Marcus not quite
maybe
like that.
Not.
Grant's normally been quite good. If the
specialist, good on Grant.
Yeah, the specialist has said yeah. 6 weeks. Like, I know when he broke his arm at Ramsey Beach Race, and the specialist that fixed his arm to have the plate put in, he was an ex-enduro rider. And Grant says, "How long am I going to be off my bike?" That was all he was interested in. He turned around and said, "I'll have you back on that bike in 8 weeks." And boy, did he have him back on that bike within eight weeks.
The reason I'm laughing is I remember Marcus had a little slip at Derby. I think it might have been his first weekend up there, to be honest. And he was in the back of the ambulance. Honestly, laugh at me. I'm up at Derby in a pair of sandals. It must have been summertime-ish. I can remember.
It's never summer up there.
Pair of jeans and a blouse. And I run up to the ambulance and I pass Jane Harrison, God rest her soul. And Marcus is in the back of the van. And I'm running up along to the ambulance. And Jane said, "Welcome to my world." And my words weren't very polite. And I said, "This is not my bleep world." And there's a picture, I don't know where that is actually, of Marcus in the back of the ambulance, and I'm just pointing at him and laughing, because, and I just say, "You chose to do this." But the following day, he was going to Portugal with the boys, and he went, I think he'd broken his ankle, to be honest, and he had one of those black boots on, and he went, and I don't know who he went with, and he ended up getting one of those Madge scooters, driving round on that, and he shouldn't have gone,
no,
because the flight wouldn't do it any good either, but he went.
If you've got any photographs of the Madge scooter, we'd love to see those.
I don't know
well.
Where it is. Marcus will have that somewhere, I think. I haven't seen it. But yeah, he's on a Madge scooter. So, and then back on it straight away as soon as he could. So.
Oh, do you know what? It's been brilliant talking to both of you. We wish you all the very best for 2026. We know where to come for tea and sandwiches.
Absolutely.
And good luck with the liver preparation for the Northwest, which I think is the key thing we're going to take away from this, Kat.
I think so, yeah. I'll try.
Pace yourself. I'll let
pace
you know
yourself.
When to
right,
start
okay.
Just remind us where people can find the supporters clubs for both boys.
So you can find Grant on his racing page, which is Grant Thompson Racing. He's on Instagram. Don't ask me what he's on, but I normally share his posts, and he's Instagram and his racing page is different things. So, yeah, but he's Facebook on Grant Thompson Racing is where you can get everything up to date.
Marcus has Spartacus hashtag 23.
You've written yours down.
he's solely responsible for that. I have nothing to do with it, and he posts everything on that. I just have a little Facebook messenger group for the 23 club members, but I'm sure at some point he's gone to Spain, actually. That's why I said earlier it's peaceful at home, so he's in Spain testing now for the next couple of weeks and then back. So it all starts
it
and
does.
You're right, it all starts
yeah
moving.
Get home, get those trophies,
get
up
those
in the
trophies. I'm on
you'll
it.
Never know.
Inbox, oh, no, inboxes and
no,
gone.
Beth, he wouldn't know. thank you
so
thank
much.
You for
cheers.
Having us.
Thank you so much.
Katrina McIntosh Thompson and Jane Simpson. Huge thanks to them for sharing their stories so honestly and really just reminding us that behind every rider chasing a dream, there's often someone in the background who's holding it all together. So whether that's the early mornings, the long journeys, the nervous waits,
or that house slowly filling up with trophies, their support is every bit as much of a part of the journey as the racing itself. If you enjoyed this episode, do check out some of the others that are on the Journey to a Dream podcast. There's also the Start Line podcast as well, which you can find on the Manx Radio Motorsport page. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.